Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016. Episode 12.14, the Week 9 Preview Show. November is here, my friends, and all the teams have now played at least 8 games. It is the midpoint for everybody. This is going to be a quick show tonight because Game 7 of the World Series went into extra innings. Then there was a rain delay. It was crazy. But congrats to the Chicago Cubs, the 2016 World Series champions. The 108-year drought is over. Man, it was a long game, and I am just starting at 10 p.m. Pacific time. Once again this week, I am the smartest man alive.
I am the smartest man alive!
Lee, thank you for playing. Thank you for being in the States for as long as you was. I hope you enjoyed all the games. But in the end, the San Diego Chargers could not sweep the Denver Broncos. And Lee has an apology to all the fans. I'll read that later on the show. I'll quickly recap Week 8. And if you're counting, another lock of the week gets a win from me. 6-2 on the season. Thank you, Oakland Raiders. I've got all 13 picks for Week 9, and another Brit, Mark from Leeds, is putting his picks up against mine. Let's chomp it in and get it started. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. All right, right now as I have started the show, some congratulations to the Chicago Cubs. It has been 108 years since they've hoisted the trophy, and there it is. I see Joe Maddon right now with the trophy in his hands, getting interviewed. Congratulations to them. I watched far too much baseball tonight because I watched pretty much the whole game. I think I tuned in the third inning, and of course with extra innings, it was good stuff, lots and lots of good stuff. But it's time to get to football, get you back to where we live, where I live especially. And real quickly before we get to recapping Week 8, I just want to set you know, huge news coming out of Minnesota as the Minnesota Vikings were dealt an interesting blow. I don't know if it was an interesting blow, but their offensive coordinator, Norv Turner, has resigned from the Minnesota Vikings, and it only leads me to believe, did he resign or did he kind of get pushed out the door? Pat Shurmur is taking over the offensive coordinator duties there for the Minnesota Vikings. Head coach Mike Zimmer said he was very, very surprised, and a lot of the players said that they didn't find out about Norv Turner leaving until much later on. They didn't hear immediately. Here's the deal. When you get held to 10 points offensively by the Chicago Bears, who had been being rolled on by everybody, and the week before by the Philadelphia Eagles, 10 points against the Eagles, 10 points against the Chicago Bears, they just weren't getting it done offensively. I don't know if maybe Norv Turner and Shurmur, who was the quarterback's coach, and Bradford, and they all didn't see eye to eye or something. Something definitely was going on there. Either way, Turner's gone, and a team who was 5-0 heading into their bye week, and everybody thought for sure they were going to be the team representing the NFC over on the NFC side, has now lost two in a row. They're 5-2. It's going to be interesting to see how Pat Shurmur handles the offensive coordinator duties, but that is some news there coming out with from the Minnesota Vikings camp. Cam Newton apparently had a discussion with the commissioner, Roger Goodell. Cam said that he had a great discussion with Commissioner Roger Goodell. He says he got his point across. He says, I got my point across. He got his point across. We ended on good terms, started on good terms as well. So I think Cam Newton just wanted to get some stuff off his chest. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers have kind of, I think there was an offensive lineman who said some pretty nasty things about Cam. He's like, hey, this is football. If you don't want to get hit, don't come play. So I think Cam has some legitimate beef, and it was kind of good of the commissioner to sit down and have that discussion with him. Ron Rivera even said so. He said, the nice part
was the commissioner was a willing listener. It was great and a nice thing that Newton was able to say what he needed to be said. And at the end of the day, it's not about getting special treatment. It's about being treated the same across the board. And I've said from week one, I think the Denver Broncos teed off on him. And everybody has been talking for Cam Newton. Cam hadn't said anything about the hits. I think some low hits against the Arizona Cardinals that he took, he said, you know what, enough is enough. I need to step up and be heard. And he was. He was heard by the commissioner. So let's see if he starts to draw more roughing the passer penalty calls because, you know, of this, you know, just bringing it to his attention. I won't get into other NFL news. Obviously, Tuesday came and went. There was only one big trade where Jamie Collins was traded from the New England Patriots to the Cleveland Browns. You know, this is just real quickly, all I'll say about the Jamie Collins trade from New England to Cleveland is that Belichick and the Cleveland – I'm sorry, he was with Cleveland, but now he's with the New England Patriots. Belichick and the New England Patriots and that front office, they don't mess around. I think apparently there's a report out there that they offered him something in the vicinity of $10 million plus dollars per year, and that wasn't good enough for Collins. And in Belichick's mind, he's like, look, if he's not willing to take that money, he's not really performing the way I want him to perform on my defense, nor is this defense really performing the way I want them to perform. Everybody is expendable. I think as far as Belichick is concerned, if your name is not Tom Brady, you are expendable. You can leave. You can be replaced as long as you're not Tom Brady. And, you know, there will come a time in a couple of years from now when Tom Brady is, you know, 40 or 42 or however old he is going to be turning soon, that he will become expendable too. That's not the case right now. Obviously, he's playing solid football right now. In the four games that he's been back, he's doing really good. He's got the Patriots sitting at 7-1 atop the AFC. So, you know, it's kind of hard for Jamie Collins. You're with a winner. You're in first place. Now you're sent to the Cleveland Browns, who have yet to win a football game. Tough for him, but you know what? Apparently Jamie Collins wasn't really all that of a football guy, and maybe that kind of rubbed Bill the wrong way. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't play by their rules, they will ship you out. It does not matter who you are. And that's all. That's really the only trade of significant note that happened there. Nobody else. I say crazy because Skip Bayless was saying Tony Romo should be traded now. Of course, the idiot that Skip Bayless is doesn't really know that Cowboys can't trade Tony Romo because of his contract. So. Yeah, you could say trade Tony Romo and try to make headlines and, ooh, isn't Skip Bayless cool? He's saying that they should trade Tony Romo. What's up? He is so savvy with all of his make some trades. Whatever, Skip. Figure out a little bit about the contracts first before you start saying, well, I think this player should be traded, and he should be traded now. Huh, moronic. Anyways, to speak on Cam Newton's defense, the defensive lineman, Calais Campbell, who hit Cam Newton low on the play, really, that Cam Newton took offense to, he was fined. He was fined today $18,231 for that low hit. So Cam wasn't just, you know, making stuff up. I think it should have been flagged. It wasn't flagged, but the fine lets you know, hey, it probably should have been flagged. And I'm sure that that official, that head ref, was probably getting to talk to you, say, you got to throw that flag because here we are finding the guy. And it's a lot easier to find them when you throw the flag. So that's it. Man, look at that. 9 minutes in, and we still haven't gotten to the game. So let's talk about last week, week 8, El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. And oh, what a juego grande it was. The Philadelphia Eagles traveled to Dallas to face the Dallas Cowboys. And man, it was a game that was billed El Juego Grande Estupendo. And it was fantastic. The final 29-23 Cowboys over the Eagles in overtime. The Eagles took a 10-point lead into the fourth quarter. The Cowboys scored 10 points in the fourth quarter to tie it up, force it to overtime at 23-23. Cowboys won the toss, got the possession first, and they did not mess around, didn't wait for any kickers, didn't wait for, you know, let's kick a field goal. They marched it down the field, scored a touchdown, game over, 29-23. Impressive because the Dallas Cowboys weren't very sharp, actually, in the beginning of the game. They were a lot of penalties. Dak had a very bad interception that he threw inside the 10-yard line, so he gave up at least 3 points there on that possession. Looked pretty bad. He missed players. There were some open receivers that he missed high and low at points, and it just wasn't his best game up until the fourth quarter where they were down by 7. Actually, they were down by 10. The Eagles fumbled. Ryan's fumbled. It was recovered by the Cowboys. They kicked the field goal. Then they stopped the Eagles again. That was a great punt. Pinned them back at the Cowboys' own 10-yard line. But Dak Prescott stepped it up, marched the Cowboys on a 90-yard drive, 10-play touchdown drive to tie the game 23-23. And in overtime, went 75 yards down the field to throw a touchdown pass to Jason Witten, who Witten, by the way, now the most starts by any Dallas Cowboy ever. So congratulations, Jason Witten, on that. It was a good game. Both Lee and I had Dallas. We both won this game. And it, for a team that didn't play its best game to come out with a win, this is a game that the Cowboys weren't winning last year. This game last year gets away from Dallas, and they lose. Not this year. They're finding ways to win, and they did it this week. And now, of course, the whole controversy that everybody is talking about, I don't want to talk about it, but I'll be remiss if I don't at least mention it, is that should Dak Prescott continue to be the quarterback instead of Tony Romo? I think everybody's wrong. I think Romo will make the offense even more explosive because you won't be able to single on Ezekiel Elliott running the football. Look, the Eagles held Ezekiel to under 100 yards rushing. Granted, it was 98 yards, so just by a couple yards. But still, he didn't reach the century mark for the first time in 5 games. Romo makes that offense more explosive because he's been there for so long. He knows the ins and outs of the offense. He knows the reads that Dak will eventually learn. And I tell you, Dak is the future of the team, and he will eventually learn this, but he will learn it. It would be a lot cooler if he learned it behind someone, a veteran with leadership like Tony Romo, that he could teach him all these things. And then when it's time for him to truly be the starter, he's got it all under his belt. And he's doing a great job. He's filling in nicely. He's saying all the right things. And I think the Cowboys are going to have an interesting decision. I think they put Romo back out there because it makes that offense more explosive. We'll see what happens. Games of the week. Let's move on to those. The final game of the International Series in London. The Washington Redskins traveled to Cincinnati, and it ended up in a big old tie. That's right. For the second consecutive week, we have a tie. 27-27, the Cincinnati Bengals had opportunities to win the game. Kickers missing field goals again, which is ridiculous. I'm not even going to say anything about this game because the Bengals really upset me. They should have won, but no, they tied. 27-27, no winner. It makes perfect sense, though, and it's kind of fitting that we have a tie in the National Football League that is played in London because they know all about their football, soccer, as we call it over here. There's ties there all the time. The game was great. It finished 0-0. Alrighty then. There you go. They know what ties are all about. So when it finished 27-27, they probably all looked around at each other and said, wait a minute. What? Oh, yeah, you can tie in the NFL. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, fans. I know you're very knowledgeable. I know you're not a whole bunch of Donovan McNabbs who didn't know that the game could end in a tie. I'm sure you enjoyed it. It sound and it looked from me watching the game that you guys enjoyed it. But anyway, Cincinnati, very disappointing. Cincinnati Bengals sitting at 3-4-1 now. That is not good for a team that had aspirations of maybe winning the division and moving further in the playoffs. They got a long way to go. Next game of the week, the Oakland Raiders at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This was my lock of the week. I said Oakland +2, take them at +1, take them even if it's a pick 'em. I actually put laid it on with Oakland as a pick 'em, so they just had to win the game. They scared me a little bit. It took overtime. They went to overtime. They somehow allowed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to score 14 points in the fourth quarter to tie the game. They tied it at 24-24, went into overtime. But in overtime, Derek Carr, Seth Roberts managed to hook up for a touchdown and get the 30-24 win. There was your final there. The Raiders improving to 6-2, and the Bucs dropping to 3-4. The Raiders now tied in a first-place division with the Denver Broncos, who are also at 6-2. We'll get to them in a minute. Seattle goes to New Orleans, and they get lost. We both lost this game. Both Lee and I had the Seattle Seahawks going into New Orleans and taking care of business. And for a while, it looked like they were going to take care of business. I think they were up 14-0 in the second quarter. Saints marched on. They kept playing. They made it 14-13 at half. And then it was all New Orleans. The Seahawks managed 6 points in the second half, a field goal in the third and a field goal in the fourth. And in the end, it was Drew Brees and the Saints with a 25-20 victory, dropping Seattle to 4-2-1. I'm not sure what's up with the Seahawks. I don't even know the Seahawks know what's up with the Seahawks right now. But that game was pretty ugly. New England spanked Buffalo. It wasn't even close, 41-25. And I tell you what, Rex Ryan, if the sole purpose of you getting hired by any team is to beat Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, you ain't doing a good job of it. Brady throwing the football around like the Bills' defense wasn't even on the field. 41-25, the final there. And that division, it put a wrap on it. It's a bow. Give it to the Patriots. It's over. Stick a fork in everybody else because they ain't catching New England. Unless someone knocks Tom Brady out of the game and they got to go back to Garoppolo, I don't know how either the Bills or the Dolphins catch New England there. The final, once again, 41-25. The Patriots improving to 7-1, the best record in the AFC and in the league for that matter, while the Bills dropped to 4-4. They're nothing but a 500 football team. They win games that they should win, but whenever they play an elite team or a team that's really good, they just seem to struggle, and they struggled mightily against New England. All right, San Diego at Denver, the challenge game, if you will. Lee thought that San Diego had a good opportunity to sweep the Denver Broncos, and they put up a fight. The final was 27-19. Denver Broncos, though, they got off to Philip. They got after Philip Rivers. Rivers threw three interceptions in the game. It was like they just came after him and knocked him around a little bit. And even though the Chargers put up a valiant effort to come back, just wasn't enough. As I said, Denver improves to 6-2, setting up a huge showdown with the Oakland Raiders. 6-2 Denver, 6-2 Oakland. That's going to be a good game this weekend in Week 9. San Diego Chargers fall to 3-5. The final game of the week, the Green Bay Packers travel to Atlanta to face the Atlanta Falcons. And a new listener, Steven, did not like my pick of the Atlanta Falcons, although both Lee and I had Atlanta. And he was right. The Packers came out. They played some pretty good football. But in the end, the Atlanta Falcons were just a little too much. 33-32, the final there. The Falcons improved to 5-3, dropping the Packers to 4-3. But the Packers got some help this week. We'll talk about the Monday Night Football game in just a moment as Chicago came to play with Jay Cutler. Let's move to the games of interest. Kansas City and Indianapolis. Oh, those Colts, I tell you what. There's something wrong with Indianapolis. I can't quite put my finger on it just yet, but as soon as I do put my finger on it, I will let you know what it is. Kansas City, even though Alex Smith got knocked out of the game, not once, but twice, prompting the NFL to look at its protocol for how it handles the concussion protocol. Because I think it failed Alex Smith there. He got knocked out of the game, was kind of woozy. He went out. He went in the locker room. He got checked out. They passed him. He went back onto the field, then took a pretty nasty hit and got concussed again. As a matter of fact, so much so that it's already been decided that he will not play this Sunday's game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Kansas City won the game 30-14. They're at 5-2, just a half a game behind Oakland and Denver. That division is looking pretty good right now. The AFC West. Nelly, people, I tell you, you have to forgive me. It is late out here on the West Coast. I should have not stayed up to watch that baseball game. I should have done a show. But anyways, I'm going to finish it up here. The Detroit Lions traveled to Houston to face the Houston Texans. That was another game that we differed on. As a matter of fact, we differed on the Kansas City-Indianapolis game. Lee had Indy. I had Kansas City. We got that one. And Lee had Detroit. I had Houston. Houston gets a 20-13 victory over the Lions. Lions just can't seem to do much on the road. You know, the game was 20-13. It seems like it was really close, but the Lions scored 10 points in the fourth quarter. There's something about what the Lions, they don't like wake up till after halftime or something like that. They got to stop that. They got to play a full football game. Maybe they'd be able to win some games. Texans improved to 5-3. The Lions dropped to 4-4. But now with the, you know, demise of the Vikings, 4-4 might not be that bad. So, Lee, I just want to tell you, it didn't matter which game I picked. Houston beat Detroit. KC beat Indianapolis. Denver beat San Diego. Either way you slice it,
I am the smartest man alive!
So, thanks for playing. I will, though, because I think this is very interesting. I got a direct message from Lee as he left America, disillusioned, having seen 10 great football games, but he sent this to me, and I figured I would read it to you, the fans. He says, "Dear fans, I am sorry for failing you last week. At halftime of the first slate of games, it was looking promising. But I am sorry that I failed you all and picking the Chargers. I really believe they could have done it and swept the Broncos. I am now leaving the USA in shame. Begrudgingly, congratulations to you, Stephen. You are the smartest man alive." Well, of course I am, Lee. Thanks for playing, buddy. Thanks a lot, and don't leave in shame. You had a great time. Trust me, I saw all your pictures at all the stadiums. You had an awesome time. Congrats for doing that. That sounds like it was one heck of a vacation. All right, the final game of interest, the Arizona Cardinals traveled to Carolina. We both had Arizona, and no way, Jose. Carolina decided that they were going to play like they played last year, and they smacked the Cardinals. The final was 30-10, didn't look that bad, but the Panthers were up 24-7 at the half, and they just cruise controlled it after that. There was never a doubt in the outcome of that game. Arizona falls to 3-4-1, just like the Cincinnati Bengals. They might be done. I don't know if they're going to be able to turn their season around. Carolina improves to 2-5. Look, they're still not looking pretty good. They're still down in the bottom of their division. They're going to be chasing the Atlanta Falcons all year. Atlanta at 5-3, but you know you've got Tampa Bay who's 3-4. You got the Saints who are 3-4. The Panthers might be able to claw their way. It starts with stringing winning games together. They got a taste of it beating Arizona, but you know they handled Arizona pretty badly in the playoffs last year. So they might have already just used that formula from last year. They got to string together some wins. Let's see if they can do that. And if they can, they might be able to salvage their season. I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon one way or the other. Finally, let's look at the nap games for week 8. Jacksonville at Tennessee. We both had Tennessee Titans. Thursday night football, Tennessee rolled. The final 36-22. Jacksonville Jaguars. Ouch. They fired their offensive coordinator. Sent him packing after the game. I really don't think it's the offensive coordinator. I mean, come on. At some point, Blake Bortles has got to step up and play football. All right? They were saying, Blake is the guy. He's our guy. He's our guy. They stood behind him. They made the offense go around him, and he is missing players. Allen Robinson is a shade of what he was last year. Allen Hurns, the other Allen, isn't even being targeted as much. So, I don't know. You know, there is really is no running game. They brought in Chris Ivory. He really hasn't panned out. T.J. Yeldon has kind of regressed a little bit. He's not running as hard as he used to. So with no running game, you're putting a lot of pressure on Blake Bortles, and he's just not getting it done. They scored their final 22 points in the third and fourth quarter when the game was already over because, trust me, it was 27-0 at the half. Tennessee was never in danger of losing this game. They improved to 4-4, and now they're making some noise. Just a game behind the Houston Texans in the AFC South. So watch out for Tennessee. They might be able to make some noise in that division. this year. All right, the New York Jets went to Cleveland, and although they needed to struggle and duke it out a little bit, they get the win, 31-28, keeping the Browns winless. They're at 0-8. And yes, it is that time of year. The Cleveland Browns are now in 0-16 watch. That's right. This, I think, was the game that they could have gotten. They led for most of the game. They were winning 20-7 at the half. But they let the Jets get back into it. They scored 14 in the third, 10 in the fourth, and they won 31-28 to get the victory. Interesting there that the Browns fought pretty hard. You know, they played pretty good. They've been in almost every game. I think the only game that they really got blown out with was when they played the Patriots. But they've been in almost every game. Almost doesn't count. Just doesn't count. It's not going to get it done. So 31-28, the final there. Jets at 3-5, but they're just meh. Minnesota travels to Chicago on Monday night for Monday Night Football, and it knocked out 50% of survivor pools when Chicago and the return of Jay Cutler were able to beat the Vikings. It was 13-3 at half. The Bears scored another touchdown in the third quarter to make it 20-3. The Vikings scored a touchdown late with like 6 minutes left in the game to make it 20-10, and that was all she wrote. That defense that played so fierce and was so beast mode in the beginning of the season during their first five games, during that first five winning streak, just got ran on like crazy by Howard. Yeah, who's Howard? Exactly. If that's what you're asking yourself, that's what I'm asking myself too. He rushed for over 150 yards and scored a touchdown against that vaunted Vikings defense. Jay Cutler threw for 252 yards and added a touchdown. This after missing five games with a thumb injury. That's all she wrote. The Minnesota Vikings fall to 5-2. Chicago improves to 2-5. The Bears, you know, when they want to play and they're at home, they can play some good football. But other than that, not really all that spectacular. But they do get the win 20-10 here on Monday Night Football. And it scared a lot of people. It scared me. Isn't anybody else playing Survivor who took the Minnesota Vikings? Just not good. But you know what? I didn't listen to myself. I've got three rules. I want to take a home team. I don't want to take a team that's playing in a divisional rivalry game. And I don't want to take a team that's playing on primetime, anywhere primetime. Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Monday Night Football. And the Vikings, all three of those things. It was a primetime game, it was a divisional game, and they were on the road. I went against all three of my criteria, and that's what I get for not listening and sticking to my criteria. My criteria is very simple. Take a home team, if possible. You know, sometimes you can. It's later on in the season. It's week eight. You know, you've already taken seven teams, so maybe there's not that very many home teams you can take, but still, if you can, take a home team. Do not take a team playing in a divisional game because those teams know each other very well and anything can happen. And certainly anything can happen during a primetime football game, as in case here, the Chicago Bears, they got a little bit of momentum. The ball started kind of flowing their way and bouncing their way, and the next thing you know, they get a 20-10 win and they upset the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, sorry, folks. If you took Minnesota there, you are done. Done. I am still not done. I still have one left. But at least the lock hit with the Oakland Raiders beating the Jacksonville Jaguars in overtime. Was it Jacksonville? No, it was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Florida team. Tampa Bay Buccaneers in overtime. But let's get to the games for Week 9 because it is time to make those picks. Once again, six teams are on a bye: Arizona Cardinals, Chicago Bears, Cincinnati Bengals, Houston Texans, New England Patriots, and the Washington Redskins are all on a bye. So that means only 13 games. I'm going to go through it fast this week. Again, as I said, Mark Ayers from Leeds is going to put his picks up against mine. So let's get it started. My voice is quickly deteriorating, so let's get this done. El juego grande estupendo de la semana. 6-2 Denver at 6-2 Oakland. Going to be a great game. I've got the Denver Broncos. Let's see what Mark says. He says, Carr is the real deal. Denver on the road worries me. So he's taking the Oakland Raiders right off the bat. El Juego Grande, Estupendo Semana, we differ on. And by the way, I'll warn you, we differ on 7 out of the 13 games this week. That is crazy. All right. I just think Denver Broncos, they've got a little bit of momentum back. It's a division rival game. They know that they need to get it done. Oakland has not been good at home. They're great on the road. They're perfect on the road, as a matter of fact. They're 5-0 on the road. But at home, they have not looked so hot. And the only team they beat at home was the San Diego Chargers, and that's because the placeholder couldn't put a ball down so they could kick a 28-yard field goal and tie the game and go to overtime. So Oakland has struggled at home. They're at home this week. I think Denver comes in and gets the win. I'm okay with taking the Denver Broncos. Let's move on to games of the week. All right, the first game of the week, the Atlanta Falcons travel to Tampa Bay to face the Buccaneers. Oddly enough, we both have Atlanta. Mark says Tampa sucking is a real surprise. Thought they'd kick on this year, and I guess that's why he's taking Atlanta. That's all he says. Yeah, I just think the Atlanta Falcons, they're in prime control right now of that division. It is a divisional game, but Atlanta typically struggles a little bit when they play on the road outdoors, which this game is. But Tampa Bay Buccaneers, watching the play against the Oakland Raiders last week, there's something missing there. There's talent. They got talent, okay? Jameis Winston, Evans, the wide receiver. Maybe, you know, the Doug Martin injury kind of hurt them a little bit, but Chris Sims was kind of picking it up a little bit, running the football. There's just something missing there with Tampa Bay. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's coaching or I don't know if it's a little bit more talent. They just they get in a little rut, and it always happens in like the middle of the game. There's a little rut there that happens where they just don't execute properly. They don't look good. They don't look disciplined, and they lose football games. I think Atlanta's pretty sharp. They got one of the best offenses out there in the league right now. Matt Ryan to Julio Jones is pretty much unstoppable right now. Of course, Green Bay did kind of stop him a little bit, but they used other weapons. They used other weapons. Sanu starting to step up for the Atlanta Falcons. I've got Atlanta. I'm pretty comfortable with that, and so does Mark. So we'll move on to Baltimore, where the Baltimore Ravens host the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, the big question here is, will Ben Roethlisberger play? If he plays, I've got the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think he'll take care of Baltimore. If he doesn't play, I'm going to go over to Baltimore because I think Baltimore will do some things to mess up with Landry. So right now I've got Pittsburgh because I believe that Ben Roethlisberger will play, but I can and I do reserve the right to change this game once it's determined whether it's Roethlisberger or Landry who's starting at quarterback. It looks like Mark he said some interesting things here, which I will not say. But he's taking the Pittsburgh Steelers. Basically, he just doesn't trust Joe Flacco, and that's what I'll say. I won't read what he wrote because not appropriate for the show. But there you go. He's got Pittsburgh. And I'm sorry. I guess what I was saying is I've got Baltimore right now, but if I'm taking Baltimore. That is the pick for me. But if Roethlisberger plays, I will swap over to Pittsburgh. Right now we differ on the game, but I'll go to Pittsburgh if Roethlisberger plays in that football game. All right, the Philadelphia Eagles travel to New York to face the Giants. Philadelphia coming off that devastating loss in overtime to the Dallas Cowboys. The Giants coming off a bye. So who do we got here? I've got the Philadelphia Eagles. I just think offensively they're getting it together. They really, you know, they're kind of methodical. There's nothing flashy and nothing fancy about it, but they're taking Carson Wentz, and they're taking baby steps, and as long as he protects the football, they're fine with it, and they move the ball down the field pretty methodically. The New York Giants are the New York Giants, and you know what? One week, they look pretty good. The next week, they struggle to beat the Rams. I'm going to take Philadelphia. Mark says Giants. I'm taking the Giants at home. The record, the Eagles' record flatters them. Ooh, that's interesting. The record flatters them. Yeah, I don't know. They look okay. They're not as bad as a team as I thought at the beginning of the season that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be. I'll take Philadelphia. I just think their offense is better than the Giants. The Giants are a one-trick pony with Odell Beckham Jr. You shut him down, you shut down the Giants, and that is that. Move on to the next game of the week as the Detroit Lions go to the Minnesota Vikings. Like, Steven, man, Minnesota's lost two in a row, and Detroit's lost, like, two in a row, and how's this game of the week? Well, this is going to be a defining game for the NFC North. This is going to tell us if, A, the Minnesota Vikings can bounce back now that they've got their whole offensive coordinator thing kind of shifted around, and, B, can the Detroit Lions step it up a notch to try and make some noise within the division. The Green Bay Packers will certainly be eyeing this game, even though they'll be playing the Indianapolis Colts, you know, at the same time. But they'll be wanting to see the outcome of Detroit at Minnesota. I've got the Vikings at home. I think they bounce back. I think they rally around behind Zimmer. I think that defense gets back to playing the way they did in the first 5 weeks of the season, and they will take care of a Detroit Lion team that, quite frankly, doesn't seem to be very good on the road. They play good football in Detroit. When they're in their dome, they love life. Outside of there, not so much. I like Minnesota to win at home. And Mark disagrees. He's got Detroit. He says, the Norv Turner decision is just unfathomable from this side of the Atlantic. Yeah, it is. Look, Norv Turner's a Cowboy guy. He, you know, led us to those three Super Bowl victories in the early 90s. I love Norv Turner. He's a great guy. And so that's why it just makes me believe that maybe he was kind of asked to step down instead of just stepping down on his own. We'll see. It'll come out in the wash eventually. But I think Minnesota at home, with their defense, they'll get after Stafford. They'll take care of business. So that is the fourth game that we differ on. But we'll move on. Two more games of the week. The Indianapolis Colts travel to Green Bay to face the Green Bay Packers. Look, Packers at home, they showed last week that they could play with a bunch of nobodies. They had Jordy Nelson, but Cobb was out, Montgomery was out, Eddie Lacy's on IR. I mean, literally, there was a bunch of, who's that? And where did that guy come from? And, oh, my God, look, it's Davante Adams. And what? Who? Where? Parker? I mean, it's just some guys that even Aaron Rodgers was probably saying, yo, what's your name again? He's in the huddle like, what's your name again? Okay, cool. You know what you're running, right? Okay, cool. And these guys took Atlanta to the brink. They lost by a point. Now they're going to be back at home. They're going to get some of those guys back. And the Indianapolis Colts, as I said earlier, there is something wrong with them. And I think, unfortunately, I don't want to point the finger at him, but I'm going to point the finger at him. I think what's wrong with him is Pagano, and it's the head coach. And I'm not sure that he's got this team playing as good as it could be playing. Andrew Luck is the only thing going for them. Even if T.Y. Hilton is in the game, which is questionable, I don't think they'll have enough to beat the Green Bay Packers at home. I'll take Green Bay, and apparently so will Mark. He says, I love Luck for fantasy, but I hate him and Indianapolis for the results. Now, they just don't win right now. The Colts, who have been the cream of the crop in the AFC South for so long, just not playing good football right now, and I think the Packers will take care of business. Final game of interest, the Buffalo Bills, who have, you know, recently re-signed Percy Harvin out of retirement, are traveling to Percy Harvin's old stomping grounds, Seattle, the Pacific Northwest, to play the Seahawks. I've got Seattle because at home they're playing pretty good football, and it's been a long time since they've lost back-to-back games. I don't think they'll lose on the road in New Orleans and lose at home. He's got Seahawks. Mark says Harvin will not make the difference returning to play against his old team. That's true. I don't think so. Plus, I don't even know if he'll get on the field. They just signed him today, I think. Buffalo, by the way, you're done. I'm no longer championing your bandwagon, if there was ever a bandwagon. I'm done. Stick a fork in Rex. I think you'll see Rex Ryan be ousted at the end of this year. I think the Buffalo Bills will eventually get back on track, but not this season. They're just not consistent enough and not disciplined enough to win football games. I like Seattle, and so does Mark. All right, let's move to the three games of interest. We'll start in Miami, where the Miami Dolphins will host the New York Jets. I've got the Miami Dolphins at home. Miami has kind of turned a corner. They flipped a switch. They're running the football. They've letting Jay Ajayi get after it. And as long as they do that, that opens some things up for Ryan Tannehill and Jarvis Landry. Landry, who, by the way, if you don't know, had that brutal block when they played the Buffalo Bills a couple weeks ago. He says, I'm changing my whole technique. It really kind of stuck with him. It kind of hurt him that he injured another player. Didn't like that. So he was talking about that this week. Very interesting. I got the Miami Dolphins. I think they'll win at home. Jets haven't been traveling well of late. And Mark is taking the Jets. He says it's a divisional game. Form to the wall. Miami are untrustworthy. Form to the wall. Mark, at some point you will have to send me an email and let me know what that I guess it's a colloquialism or whatever that little phrase means to you guys. Form to the wall. Right now, when anyone says wall, I just think about Trump and I get angry. So I'm not going to go there. Miami are untrustworthy. That I understand. So he's taking the Jets. I've got the Miami Dolphins. Man, he is going to have a lot of games to pick to be the challenge game. All right, next game of interest, the Carolina Panthers travel out here to the West Coast to play the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are coming off our bye off that loss against the New York Giants. Carolina just won again. They're getting the taste of winning. I don't know that the Rams can beat Carolina just because Carolina can score points, and the Rams, unfortunately, cannot. They have a great defense. This will be a low-scoring game. If you got the under, take the under. But I don't think the Rams got it. I've got Carolina. Let's see. Another game that we differ on. Marcus taking the Rams. He says the Panthers look like a real mess this year. And therefore, he's taking the Rams. Seriously, folks, I think it's 8 games now that we differ on because I didn't know we differed on that one. Final game of interest, the Tennessee Titans against the San Diego Chargers. All the way out here in San Diego, I've got the Chargers because the Chargers are playing super football. Even with their losses, they're in football games. They play good football, especially at home. I'm going to take San Diego. And so is Mark. He's got the Chargers. This is the tallest dwarf contest. Once again, I think that means something over there that doesn't mean here. But anyways, he says they'll be a winner, but they'll both stink the league out. All right, the Chargers aren't that bad. Chargers aren't that bad. Neither Tennessee. I think San Diego wins, and we both have that game. Finally, let's hit to the nap games where we will just give picks. Dallas at Cleveland. I've got Dallas, and oh my, Mark has Cleveland. What in the world? Cleveland cannot, in all capitals, suck all year. McCown looks serviceable. Pryor is decent. Collins will add D power. And the 8-8 Cowboys are only ever lurking just around the corner. So, okay, he thinks the Cowboys are going to be 8-8. I don't get that one. And the game is in Cleveland as well. If it was in Dallas, no chance. But I will take the dogs in the dog pound. Very interesting there. Okay, nap game number 2, the Jacksonville Jaguars travel to Kansas City to face the Kansas City Chiefs. Both Mark and I have the Kansas City Chiefs. Finally, a game we agree on. It's the Jags, right? No further questions, your witness. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're not going into Arrowhead. They're not going anywhere in winning, but especially not going into Arrowhead and winning. I've got Kansas City there, even with Nick Foles starting at quarterback. Look, that's why Andy Reid brought in Nick Foles. He was afraid that Alex Smith will get hurt. Here's the classic example. He got hurt. Concussed. In comes Nick Foles. He gets the start. That is official. That has already been announced. So we'll see how that plays out. Then the final game, New Orleans at San Francisco. The 49ers back home off their bye. Let's see. He says, can't predict which Saints team will turn up every week, so I'll take the home team for me. He's got the 49ers. Mark taking San Francisco. I'm taking the Saints. I just don't trust San Francisco to win very many football games anymore. They're all over the place, both offensively and defensively. That's 8 games out of 13. 8 games out of 13 that we differ on. The amount I am up overall in the season, I'm up by 1 game on the fans. And the challenge game, I'm up by 2 games. Let's see the fans get to pick this week. And Mark says, challenge game for sure, Dallas at Cleveland. He's got the Cleveland Browns. He thinks that is the challenge game for sure. So no way Dallas loses. If Dallas loses this game, all of the confidence and everything that has been building with Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and that offensive side of the ball, will go by the wayside. I don't think Cleveland will beat the Cowboys because they won't be able to stop Ezekiel Elliott. There you have it. So the challenge game is Dallas at Cleveland. And that was the fan picking, by the way. That was not me picking. Mark is very sure about this. He's locked it in. And there's seven other games besides the challenge game that we differ on. So a lot of numbers are going to change. It'll be an interesting week. And Mark's on Twitter. He's been responding to me via Twitter. So if you've got something to say about his crazy picks, please feel free to shoot him a tweet on Twitter. Folks, that's all the time I've got. I've even got to apologize to my executive producer, Jeremy Parker, who I never reached out to this week, and I didn't get anything to talk about for him. But I am beat. It's almost 11 o'clock here on the West Coast. Once again, congratulations to the Chicago Cubbies. Come out, follow on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I've been posting some stuff about news that happens with my opinions. And I basically live tweeted the final three innings of the baseball game because it was a lot of fun to watch. Cubbies, woohoo! After 108 years, you are champions. So all you Cub fans out there, I hope you enjoy this. It is pretty, pretty sweet to taste the championship victory after so long waiting for it. Everyone else, follow myself, ST Miranda, on Twitter or at NFLR&R, or come out to the website, NFLRNR.com. Check out the challenge game stats. I'm up by two games, and after this week, I'm pretty sure I will be up by three. That's all the time you got. You've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Stephen Miranda, and I'm out.